1 Samuel chapter 17, we'll read verses 31 through 37. Hear the word of the Lord. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Father, we ask that you would guide us by your word. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would give us light to see, and in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. One of the questions that come back to again and again and again whenever we go through an Old Testament study, did this recently with Proverbs, I'm trying to do this every week in the book of 1 Samuel, is what does this story have to do with Jesus? And I never cease to be amazed that the answer to that week after week as you work through the Old Testament is that this story has a lot to do with Jesus. And specifically this morning, what does the story of David and Goliath have to do with Jesus? And again, I keep coming back to the same answer. It has a lot to do with Jesus. And I want to bring that out from week to week. The Old Testament is to point us to Christ, and it does so so beautifully. If you just have the eyes to see it and the ears to hear it. It's amazing when you come to the New Testament, the very first sentence of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, that introduces to us Jesus Christ. The very first time Jesus is introduced in the New Testament, he's introduced as the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of David. That tells us right there that the story of David is indispensable to understanding the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's indispensable to knowing who Jesus is. It is so rooted in these Old Testament stories, and particularly the story of David. There are essential aspects of the gospel that have their roots in these days when God, for the first time in history, called a king to be his servant. A king for himself, as contrasted to Saul, who was the people's choice, who has failed miserably at this point in the story. Well, Lord willing, we'll continue to see the ways that the Old Testament stories point to the Lord Jesus Christ, but I think the most important thing for us to understand about the story of David and Goliath is that its gripping excitement as perhaps the greatest human battle ever waged, transfers in the New Testament to the gripping excitement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to dwell on that theme for a few moments this morning. The point where we left off last week, you remember David, the shepherd boy, had come to the Valley of Elah, and he's on an errand to bring provisions to his older brothers who are serving in the army. They're at a standstill with the Philistines, and when he arrived, it was on day 40 of a daily, twice-a-day challenge that is being issued by Goliath. Goliath, the giant, comes out. He defies the armies of God. He defies God himself. He's cursing. Send out one warrior, and let's settle this in a one-on-one round of combat. And when David arrives on the scene, And he hears this giant cursing God, and he hears this giant cursing the people of God, and he sees the people of God cowering. Several times we're told in the story that the people of God were in terror. They were in great fear. He is outraged. Verse 26. What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away this reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And we're told this morning that David's reaction was enough to get the attention of the king. Saul hears of this. And so David's brought before him. Now, keep in mind, we know at this point in the story that Saul is the rejected king. We know at this point in the story that Saul is the failed king. We know at this point in the story that the Spirit has left Saul. He still holds the position, but the fact that 40 days of taunting and cursing and defying the Lord has gone on, and Saul has failed to deal with it, reminds us of the fact that he is the outgoing king. We also know at this point in the story, which Saul does not know, that David has been anointed as the future king. Saul has no idea of that. But as the failed king unknowingly met the king-elect, one of the things I find astonishing about this interaction is the way the incoming king, this young boy, this shepherd, takes control of the conversation. And I don't think it's a stretch at all to say that the young shepherd, David, preaches the gospel to the outgoing King Saul. Now, it's not the gospel in all of its fullness. It's not the gospel in all of its details as we have it when we come into the New Testament. But there are two major gospel themes. And David's response to Saul. Verse 32. He appears before Saul, and David said to Saul, verse 32, "Let no man's heart fail because of him." Let no man's heart fail because of him. Those words are shocking. They are every bit as shocking as the gospel of Jesus Christ is shocking. This is an imperative. An imperative. Do not be afraid. What do you mean, do not be afraid? What kind of statement is that? Standing before the embodiment of terror and the giant Goliath. Goliath is the embodiment of terror. To even think about his appearance, to even think about his threat, strikes fear in the hearts of these seasoned, battle-tested warriors. And the sensible thing might be to say, run for your life. Hide. But do not be afraid. Let no man's heart fail. That's the most outrageous thing anyone could say in these circumstances. And I think that's just like the gospel. Friends, the scriptures are very clear. We face a terrifying enemy. The great enemy of every human being is death. And it is terrifying. It is terrifying. And the gospel comes to us and says, in the face of the greatest enemy of humanity, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. That is the most outrageous thing anyone could say to sinners like us. Except maybe for the second thing he says. May even be more outrageous than the first. Look at the next statement he says. You first have the imperative, do not be afraid. Now he gives us an indicative, the reason why these Philistine warriors should not tremble at Goliath's threats. Here's the indicative. your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. That's absurd. What are you talking about? This small, skinny shepherd boy looking up to the tallest man in Israel, decked out in his armor as the king. And Saul says, do not be afraid. I will fight for you. Absolutely absurd, absolutely shocking, absolutely astonishing. He's small, he's skinny, he's too young to serve in the military. And he's telling Israel's biggest and best, I will go out for you. It's preposterous. But I would say this is the gospel according to David. This is the gospel according to David. Do not be afraid. I will fight for you. Do you see how that sounds like the gospel of Jesus? Do you hear those major themes in the gospel of Jesus? Turn with me to the gospel of Luke. Some of the very first to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ with the shepherds. And in Luke chapter 2, we find a very similar message. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 10. Boy, it's good to hear the pages of Bibles whispering. I love it. It's the sound of angels' wings. Luke 2, verse 10. And the angel said to them, fear not. See that? Fear not. Do not be afraid. Let no man's heart fail. Fear not. And here's the indicative. For behold, I bring to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. What is it? For unto you is born this day in the city of David. Bringing us back to the original question, what does the story of David have to do with Jesus? A lot. Born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Do not be afraid, for I will save you from your enemies. I will fight for you by one wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger where, very significant, in the city of David, Bethlehem. And I would say to you this morning, I think people find it hard to take this gospel message seriously for the same reason it was hard for Saul to take David's gospel message seriously. It just sounds too good to be true. You mean to tell me I don't have to fear humanity's greatest enemy, and I don't have to do anything but trust that you will take care of that enemy for me? That is the gospel according to David. That is the gospel according to Jesus Christ. But it's not difficult, back to our passage, to understand and relate to the incredulity of Saul when David makes this preposterous proposal. Look at verse 33 back in our text. Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. You're just a boy. You can't go up against a giant of a warrior who has been a warrior since he was your age. And the implication is that this was some years ago. He is seasoned and experienced. He is battle-hardened and battle-tested. Saul could see what anybody standing there could see that day. That David was no match for the Philistine. The idea was ridiculous. In other words, Saul isn't believing the gospel message that David is proposing. I don't believe it. Understandably, from a human perspective, if you just see as humans see, if you just see as man sees, It's the most ridiculous message in the world. Go back to chapter 16. This is the theme. This is the key. Verse 16, verse 7. You remember this. Into verse 7, chapter 16. For the Lord sees not as man sees. The Lord sees not as Saul sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Yeah, Saul's unbelief was entirely reasonable from a human perspective, entirely reasonable from an outward appearances perspective. So he rejects the message. But we already know, right? We've already been clued in as the readers that Saul's reasonable unbelief is wrong. Because there are other things going on here that man does not see, man cannot see. We already know that the Holy Spirit has come upon, rushed upon David. We know that David is the anointed one. We know that David is the chosen one, the Messiah, the Christos. Look how David responds to Saul's unbelief. Verse 34. Saul rejects David's gospel message, but David says to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." David had delivered his sheep from deadly predators. David had killed lions. David had killed bears. He has a resume. Now, lions and bears aren't battle season giants. True. But there is a little more to David than Saul gives him credit for. But then he gives the details. And this really gets to the heart, I think, of the gospel according to David in our passage this morning. Look at verse 37. "I've killed lions, I've killed bears, I've killed wild beasts." Verse 37, "Then David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.'" When David's giving his resume, and he says, "I've done this and I've done that, and I've killed these number of bears and I've killed these number of lions," he's not simply laying out his resume of accomplishments. He's not simply laying out his resume of skill sets. But notice, David is recognizing he's the secondary agent. When he kills a bear, it's not him killing a bear. It's him killing a bear because of the grace of God that stands behind it. When he's delivered from an animal, when he's delivered from difficult circumstances in life, it's not because of his own skill set. It's because of the grace of God standing behind him. It's because God has delivered him. Friends, that is the same for us. When we look at our list of accomplishments, when we look at our skill sets, when we assess our assets, we would do well to remember, just like the servant David, these are all gifts, ultimately, from the hand of God. We don't deliver ourselves from anything. It is God who delivers. It is God who provides. And the Lord delivered him, he recognized, from the hands of lions and beasts and bears. And if the Lord did that, the Lord can deliver him from Goliath. And if the Lord delivers David from Goliath, he can deliver the Israelites from the Philistines. And if the Lord can deliver the Israelites from the Philistines, the Lord can deliver humanity from death. You see his logic here. Into verse 37. "So Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.'" I just read that as kind of a throwaway statement. Okay, God bless. Do what you want to do. But it's one of those throwaway statements that is so much more true than Saul could ever possibly realize. Yes, the Lord is with David. And he's about to show that in a mighty way in this battle of the ages. Almost time for battle. But there's one more delay before we get there. One more illustration of Saul's failure to understand or believe David's gospel message. And it's when he tries to equip this young boy with his own armor. Verse 38. All right, God bless, David. Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of, not mail, scales. Clothed him with a coat of scales. And David strapped his sword over his armor. You see what's happening here? Saul is trying to equip David like himself. Saul is trying to equip David like Goliath. Remember the previous description of Goliath's armor. Goliath had a helmet of bronze. Goliath had a sword. Goliath had a coat of scales. Remember, Goliath is the embodiment of Satan. This is a much bigger story. This is a gospel story. He's the embodiment of Satan. And remember, Saul is the people's choice. He's not God's choice for king. He's the people's choice. They wanted a king like the other nations. They got a king like the other nations. They got a king like Goliath. He's wearing scales like Goliath. He tries to put the scales on David. In fact, there's a related subtle point here. Again, we know in the story that David is the king elect. Saul doesn't know that. But here you have the king taking off his royal garments and putting them on the king elect. How symbolic is that? But you know what? David is not a king like the other nations. David is not a king after the people's choice. David is a king after God's own choice. And so it shouldn't surprise us that David would not look like the other nations. Verse 39. He tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. David doesn't represent the snake. David doesn't represent the people's choice. Verse 40, then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. 5 simple stones. Lays down the sword, lays down the armor, lays down the scales, and picks up the tools of a shepherd. And he marches to battle. Simple stones and a simple cross. Israelites had a real problem in Goliath that day. And there was only one solution. Only one. And it was in David. We have a real problem. An eternal problem. And there's only one solution. And it's the Son of David, the Messiah, the Christos, Jesus. And the news of Jesus Christ is the news of an extraordinary victory, that our greatest enemy has been defeated and eternal life is ours. When we come to the table this morning, we come receiving the message, do not be afraid, I will fight for you.